Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hey, health junkies. I have a great podcast for you today. I'm going to be interviewing Ryan Smith from TaylorMade Compounding Pharmacy. He is the guru of peptides, and I've got a lot of technical information in this podcast, so hold on. I'm going to put all of the information in my podcast notes at drjkrausend.com. So don't panic. I will outline everything we talk about, and you can have all that information at your fingertips so that you can review it after the podcast. All right, folks, hope you enjoy the podcast.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. I have a treat for you. I have Ryan Smith. He's the VP of Sales and the co-founder of TaylorMade Compounding Pharmacy. He is on the line with me today, and we're going to be talking all about peptides and how they can help ladies. Since there's way too many information out there about how it helps guys, I want to talk about the ladies. Ryan, thank you for being on the podcast today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, let's jump into this because I'm a geek about peptides. I definitely have been talking about them a lot on social media and talking a lot with a couple podcasts I've had here in the past. Now, peptides, I would like to clarify with people because I think a lot of people think that peptides are something, you know, that's like going down the doping side of it's illegal, I shouldn't be doing these, it's like steroids. Let's clear the air a little bit about peptides and kind of chat in terms of basics on peptides and why they are not to be thought of as something super scary.
Yeah. No, I love to jump in there because, you know, the people that definitely latch onto this can be more of that, you know, the bro science people, which is not necessarily a bad thing because they're seeing some of the potential benefits that peptide therapies have to offer. But it's not just limited to performance. It's not just limited to doping. These are definitely therapeutic tools which are growing in use in the medical community. You know, the reason that peptides have typically been lagging around from you know, mainstream medicine is because they're hard to work with sometimes. You know, recent science and developments have made that a little bit easier. These now are becoming much easier to apply to large populations of people. And as a result, they're growing in a major way in medicine, you know, with being by far the leading area of development for drug development candidates. And so this is entirely medical grade and regulated as such and treated as such and under the care of medical supervision.
And I want to talk about that in terms of your pharmacy, just to give a huge, you know, kudos to you guys and how legit your pharmacy is, because what I see a lot in my practice is I have a lot of patients who are coming to me looking for either just performance enhancement, not in terms of in a sports level, but just to be able to lift more at the gym or to be able to lose weight or work on their skin tone and things of that nature, more the vanity issues, if you will.
Sure.
But at the same time, they're going, well, why would I have you help me in terms of getting this from a compounding pharmacy when I can buy this online? And of course, my first thing is, well, you don't even know what you're getting online. Let's talk a little bit about your pharmacy compared to buying something online from, we don't even know. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And this is definitely a passion of mine. I always, whenever I talk about this, I always point to the same article. So I've said it time and time again, but it's good because it's a non-biased source. The New York Times wrote an article around a year and a half ago now about sort of the black market surrounding peptides. And in there, they referenced that 80% of those products have been found to be fraudulent or fake. And so that alone is a huge red flag. Right, whenever you're 80% of the issue, but along with the peptides, also there are a lot of other supplementary issues where if you get close, you actually can cause more problems than you know benefits. And so, even something that might be you know 50% pure can cause a lot more problems than it's worth. And so, from a pharmacy perspective, we are highly regulated. We're regulated, you know, on the FDA level as well as by our individual state boards of pharmacy. And so, everything that we do is tested to the extreme every batch. And in addition to that, people also talk about the identity of the product. The other thing they don't talk about is sterility, which is also a hugely important product, a product concern. And all of our products are, again, tested for sterility and endotoxin as well. And so whenever physicians are prescribing our products to patients, they know they're getting exactly what they want at the concentration they want. And that allows them to develop these protocols to treat patients in the best possible way.
That's the perfect, you said it perfectly. And that's what I've been arguing with a lot of my patients on is like, yeah, if you have to buy something, then mix it with bacteriostatic water. Have you ever taken a chemistry class? I mean, maybe in high school, but the importance is that sterility. I keep trying to tell folks over and over again, you're going to inject this into your body. You don't want something that is not sterile injected into your body. Just look at what happened with the lady. I don't remember where she was from, but with the neti pots and doing the nasal rinses with non-sterile water. This is something that's a big concern. And so then of course it's, folks are always like, okay, is that why peptides are a little bit more expensive? Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And you're definitely, whenever it's regulated, you're paying for that peace of mind a little bit as well, because you know that, again, it is what it says it is, and that allows you to make the decisions that are going to be best for your health.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about some of these peptides that we already know, like oxytocin, for example, is a peptide. Everyone knows it as a love hormone. And a lot of people are not necessarily afraid to ask if they could get oxytocin sprays and things of that nature from me. But when it starts going into the thymus and alpha-1, I do find that I'm having a little trouble kind of convincing folks that, whoa, okay, this has a weird name, sounds a little bit scary. Let's take some of the scary out of these things. Because isn't thymus and alpha-1, isn't it FDA regulated now?
It is. It's actually FDA approved. It goes into the, I would say arguably an even scarier trade name, Zidaxin. But it is FDA regulated and approved.
Perfect. So now I've kind of thrown out some names. I know one of the other big things are the diabetes medications, the GLP-1 types of peptides. And one of the most common ones, and correct me if I'm wrong, is Victoza out there. That is another peptide.
Definitely, yeah. The Victoza is a trade name. The generic name is liraglutide. And yeah, we do a lot of that one. It has a lot of really good clinical uses.
So let's talk a little bit. So we kind of cleared the air in terms of peptides and how you are working in your pharmacy compared to finding something online that might not be sterile. I hope folks hear that and really take that to heart, because I certainly wouldn't be putting anything into my body that I didn't know was sterile. On top of that, then the big thing here is, what can these peptides help you in particular for, and in particular for women? So here's what I wanted to kind of dish on in terms of ladies. We have a lot of ladies in my practice that are struggling with Hashimoto's thyroiditis. We have a lot of ladies in my practice who are fatigued chronically, especially after having a couple kiddos. And then, of course, the biggest thing is weight gain, insomnia, and skin tone, and trying to get, that youthful glow back. So let's talk about the different peptides that can help those particular situations. We can start with Hashimoto's first.
Yeah, one of my, again, the one we actually just referenced, the thymus and alpha-1, is actually my favorite peptide product, just because of its utility in just about any situation. And its utility in autoimmune conditions is a little bit less obvious, but we've seen great results. The thymus and alpha-1 actually got FDA approved for some viral illnesses, hepatitis C and hepatitis B, as well as some cancers, because what it does is it encourages your immune system to act in a way to fight those viruses and to fight those cancer cells. And so most people think of it as an immune stimulator, but it's actually an immune modulator, which means it can also help in some types of autoimmune disease. And we've seen this time and time again for things like, psoriatic arthritis, lupus, and even in the case you mentioned in Hashimoto's, we've seen, again, reduction of a lot of those autoantibodies which are attacking your own thyroid. And so as a result, a lot of the time we can, we've had physicians who treat with thymus and alpha-1 and see a reduction of a lot of the symptoms you would see with Hashimoto's. Patients get more energy. They tend to stop losing hair as much. And so we've had really, really good success with that product for Hashimoto's.
That's impressive, because a lot of people in my circle use low-dose naltrexone to try to help with getting the antibodies down and helping with pain and energy. And to be honest, I don't see as great of results as I'd like to. Of course, you know, I'd like that magic bullet to just take everybody's, you know, issues away. In terms of thymosin alpha 1, how long does it take to see results? What are people reporting? Like how long?
This is a little bit more difficult to predict because, you know, people will have different results according to, you know, the severity. The good thing with the thymosin alpha 1 is that, you know, it takes effect really, really quickly. And we know that it's got a 2-hour generally half-life. So you can inject it and see just different markers in your immune system have changed really, really immediately to clinical symptoms in terms of energy or, you know, as I talked about, even with the hair loss, it can be variable for patient, but usually it doesn't take that much time at all, usually around, you know, 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay. Now then my next question would be if someone has Hashimoto's and they're going to be injecting thymosin alpha 1, when would they take it compared or inject it compared to taking their thyroid medication? How does that work?
Yeah, it actually tends to not matter as much. You know, again, it's got a short half-life, but most of what's happening is sort of the downstream effects of what the thymosin alpha 1 is stimulating, which is, you know, T-cell regulation, antibody production, MHC class 1 expression. And so the timing isn't as dire as, you know, it is with some other medications. You can be a little bit more flexible.
Okay. And on those lines, what about supplements? Because there are a lot of folks, especially Hashimoto's, chronic fatigue patients, they're on a good handful of supplements, which, by the way, I would love to have people just doing peptides and no supplements. But are there any like interactions with peptides and supplements? Are there certain like minerals you shouldn't take or anything when you're injecting?
Yeah, it's difficult to say as a generality. You know, a lot of the peptides are going to have wildly different interactions and can definitely interact with certain things. The good thing about the peptides, though, is that their interactions compared to traditional small molecule drugs are much, much fewer because of two reasons. Their selectivity for their receptors are usually great, very, very specific, meaning that they act exactly where we want and not other places. And then the other issue is their half-lives are relatively short. Again, we're talking, you know, minutes to hours rather than, you know, hours to days.
Okay. That makes sense. And so would you think in terms of recommendation, in terms of like a mineral, maybe you're injecting the thymosin alpha 1 and maybe keeping it, you know, that 2 hours away just to allow the thymosin to do its thing. Would that be something to think about?
Yeah, you know, again, for the thymosin alpha 1, you know, even in the drug monograph that the FDA put out, it has less drug side effects than like placebo. Wow. It is an extremely, extremely safe medication. And so with that one, the considerations are generally a lot lower than others. But yeah, you know, having 2 hours would definitely not be detrimental at all.
Okay. And by the way, do you happen to know if the thymosin alpha 1 might be in trials for making an oral version of it versus injectables?
As far as I know, it's not. However, there have been, I would say, a lot of other sort of non-peptide-specific ways which people are trying to get oral bioavailability, binding it to different salts and things which might have some protected as it goes to the GI tract and before it's absorbed in the intestine. So while not anything specifically for thymosin alpha 1, I think for peptides generally, there's a lot of work being done there.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you for that. That's huge. I think for a lot of autoimmune folks, especially the Hashimoto's, that thymosin alpha 1 is going to be huge. Now let's move on to chronic fatigue. And what are you finding folks are using most for chronic fatigue patients?
Yeah, you know, chronic fatigue is a difficult one. We have, a couple physicians out west who definitely specialize in treating this. And their general success actually has been with, a lot of products we reference, the thymosin alpha 1 and the thymosin beta 4. Okay. Those I would say are probably the two biggest recommendations. Just to give a little bit of background for most of the listeners who might not be familiar with thymosin beta 4, the thymosin beta 4 is another endogenous peptide. So it's created naturally in the body. And it's usually upregulated whenever you have any type of injury. You know, it's the first peptide that's upregulated whenever you get a cut in your skin, for instance. And this has been studied for several years and for a variety of different things. You know, it's had clinical trials for things like dry eye or post-myocardial infarction or even TBI and stroke. You know, a lot of people use it as well for performance because it helps repair a lot of that soft tissue. It's an actin sequestering protein, which means it can help rebuild that cytoskeleton that allows for injury repair. It also increases blood flow to areas of injury. So it's a very, very pleiotropic peptide that does just a ton of things. And it's really, really exciting. In the case of chronic fatigue, people have hypothesized that the mechanism of action for some of its effects for, you know, restoring energy levels have been its ability to increase ATP synthase and help with that cellular level energy in all the cells of your body.
Nice. Well, and I mean, yes, there's so many other factors, right, for chronic fatigue, all the nutrition aspect, the stress management aspect. But the big thing that you hit on there was the repair of injured tissue. And I think that might be the root of a lot of chronic fatigue, say, after pregnancy, after, you know, I mean, trauma-related types of chronic fatigues, too. And I'm wondering if this thymus and beta 4 might be elevated in us when we go through traumas, such as, like you had mentioned, the TBIs, or perhaps, or the traumatic brain injuries, or perhaps even things like motor vehicle accidents, why people can't bounce back from that.
Yeah, definitely. And we know, we've seen in time and time again, any energy related, even the non-specific injury related, as it, you know, might be diabetic neuropathy or just vascular neuropathy, where you're getting damage to nerves. We know that it helps there as well, and its specific effects in some of those neurological tissues, both the brain and nerves, are another reason that it can sort of help with some of that, those chronic fatigue symptoms where you just feel drained.
Wow. Okay, let me run this by you, just because now my head's going in one little direction about the diabetic neuropathy. If someone has it in a specific spot, like say their feet, for example, would you inject the thymus and beta 4 over, say, tissue in the foot, ankle area, perhaps? I mean, I'm imagining that being kind of painful, but I'm like, would you try to target the area of the neuropathy?
Yeah, the studies which have been done have all been done with just, you know, general subcutaneous, you know, systemic administration. But that definitely hasn't stopped a lot of people from trying to go locally for injury repair. You know, another one that would be similar is the BPC. A lot of people try and go locally, but most of the data tends to be systemic. I think that there is definitely an argument that people are making and seeing better results going locally, just because I think the idea is trying to get saturation in a particular tissue. And if you can get saturation in a particular tissue, why not have it be you know, the tissue that is injured.
Makes sense. When I tore my lat, this is how I kind of got into BPC 157. When I tore my lat at the end of January, I injected superficially to where I had all the bruising. And then I was taking the BPC 157 internally. And I swear I was like up and running in 2 weeks after a pretty significant tear. I mean, my whole armpit was bruised and I couldn't raise my hand over my head. It was impressive. In that case, in terms of that quick repair. So anyway, squirreling a little bit on you there. I apologize. I'm just so excited about this stuff.
No, it's good. I've got my own personal anecdotes I love to share as well with those two products in terms of repair and recovery. Yeah, it's always a great area for treatment because you can really see a difference really quickly. So people can know, hey, you know, compared to the last time I got hurt with a similar injury, I recovered in half the time or a fourth of the time. And so we see, you know, that it's a really good type of measurement because people really, really feel it.
That's awesome. Do you have an injury that you, like, did you? Tell us about it.
Yeah, so not one I share often, but I had a soccer injury. I pulled my hamstring. You know, it was pretty serious. I in terms of the whole back of my leg was sort of, you know, black and blue. And so the first thing I went to was a thymus and beta 4, which I think definitely helped, but not to the degree I was expecting. You know, whenever you talk about soft tissue injury, you know, the first peptide that comes to people's mind is the thymus and beta 4. And so, you know, I did a week of that and was a little, you know, disappointed in the fact that I wasn't healing as quickly. And again, it was a pretty bad injury, but so I decided to add the BPC to that through the help of my physician, and what And, you know, in the next day, I had a 90% pain reduction. It was sort of incredible. You know, in terms of functionality, it was still a little bit limited, but the pain had definitely decreased, which was extremely exciting to see in such a short amount of time.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what was mind-blowing to me, just like how short amount of time. And wow. Yeah. I'm sold on those for sure. And I'm trying to tell all my patients I also do acupuncture. And so I will combine the BPC-157 injections with acupuncture, and seems to be working really well for a lot of folks. So I am very excited about that.
Sure.
So let's move on to talking about metabolic issues. So metabolic fatigue, kind of on the same line somewhat of the chronic fatigue, but I'm finding that a lot of people are in this metabolic fatigue state where their body just won't burn energy like it should. They gain weight, the weight just kind of sits on them, and they're just struggling. Maybe it's after having a kiddo, maybe it's after a recent trauma or extremely stressful situation. What peptide would you typically recommend in that case for trying to get that metabolic
state? It can widely vary. You know, again, we already referenced one of the by far the most widely prescribed metabolic peptides in the world is the Victoza or the liraglutide, which enhances insulin sensitivity. And, you know, insulin sensitivity can happen to all, you know, we can lose a lot of that insulin sensitivity, I should say, as we age, right? Everyone, whether or not we're, you know, at risk for type 2 diabetes or not. And so the liraglutide is an extremely fascinating product, which has activity in the brain, as well as, you know, can even be used, and a lot of people are using it with metformin to treat PCOS and things of that nature. So it's an amazing metabolic peptide, which people are using a little bit more often off-label for some of those conditions. So that one, I think, it definitely has to be in the discussion for any metabolic condition. And, you know, one of the things they see with that whenever you're treating some of those high, you know, A1Cs or, you know, they having some of that resistance to insulin, you also see weight loss. And the reason is because you're sort of sensitizing and sort of resetting your body to perform like it used to, in terms of it, how it treats, how it processes sugar and food. And so that one definitely would be a hallmark one. Another one that another class that we often do are those growth hormone secretagogues, you know, increasing growth hormone levels and downstream increasing IGF-1. It can also be helpful for that chronic fatigue syndromes. But in addition to that, you know, we also see a pretty big effect on body comp along with, you know, proper diet and exercise. And so those are just a general class, which again, we might want to talk a little bit more about, but the last one is also one that's extremely, extremely new, but people, a lot of physicians are looking at it just due to its general effects all over the body. But the MOTSC, it's a mitochondrial peptide, which can, again, it help treat some of that insulin sensitivity and increase cellular energy, which, you know, can help patients lose a little bit of weight.
I love it. Yeah, I want to try that one. I'm currently working with CJC and Ipamorelin, and I found that it's worked wonders for my sleep and my skin. I don't know if you've heard that one out there in terms of things, but
definitely. Yeah, and that's one of the major benefits with a lot of those growth hormone, releasing hormones, have a much, much better deep wave sleep. And the data on that is growing and growing and growing with people in the community using things like Oura rings to track their stage of sleep and seeing what happens when they begin the medication and they don't.
Yeah, that Oura ring is impressive. I have a couple of patients who are using that, and I got to get myself one, I think.
Definitely.
So let's talk a little bit about cardiovascular disease for a moment, since it is one of the number one killers in ladies. And in particular, I'm starting to find a lot of ladies coming into my practice with elevated blood pressure, and their cholesterols are off the charts. And in some cases, I even had one of my relatively healthy, we thought, patients go in for a stress echocardiogram, and she ended up having dead tissue in her heart. Talk a little bit about the peptides for cardiovascular health. And if, you know, by no means am I a cardiologist, because I know that there's some impressive stuff out there to help post-MI and things of that nature. But what could someone do on a basic level to keep or maintain their heart health with peptides?
Yeah, definitely. And so going back a little bit, you know, I think that it's important to note that the three leading areas of peptide development tend to be in the areas of cancer, then besides that, metabolic disease, things like, you know, those GLP-1s we referenced. And then the third tends to be cardiovascular disease. And so what you see is that the drug development is going in the direction of where people are experiencing most of them, their morbidity. And we're in, you know, and sort of it's following where the need is the most. And so there are a lot of awesome and great peptides coming out for cardiovascular disease. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of them. You know, the things that, that we sort of focus on are almost more of those baseline things, that preventative medicine, healthcare, things like the things we already talked about with the GLP-1s and the Victoza. You know, that one is one that, again, with better insulin sensitivity, you get, you know, less metabolic dysfunction and less plaque buildup. The other things, they're actually going to be coming out quite a few antihypertensive peptides, which we're really, really excited about and might be adding to a formulary relatively soon. In terms of treating, you know, damaged tissue as it is, I also want to throw out again that thymosin beta 4. It's got some amazing studies being, you know, used post myocardial infarction to help repair some of that tissue, what if it's in the heart, for instance. And so, for most of the cardiovascular things, I think that we tend to focus on some of that preventative health care rather than, you know, drug medications that might directly help the cardiovascular system, but that is by no means a weakness of peptides. They're definitely being developed, and you'll hear a lot about them, I think, shortly from the pharmaceutical community.
I'm impressed. Yeah, I love it. No, I think, you know, I'm obviously in the preventative medicine world, and so if anything does come out that we can help prevent cardiovascular issues, I want to hear all about it as soon as you know you guys get that put together.
Sure.
I need to know. Now, in terms of Epitalon or Epitalon, depending on whoever says it, this guy, the telomerase guy, so the longevity peptide, does this guy have any use other than in the longevity universe? Or what are you seeing? Because I'm playing with it right now just to see. You know, I mean, I don't know, just to see how I felt with it. And really, all I'm really noticing, because I tried it on its own, and I'm like, hey, I think I have a little bit more energy, but I don't know if that's placebo effect. Where would you say that this one would fit into the category of, would it be better for someone who's fatigued? Would it be better for someone who's just trying to generally work on their longevity? Where does that one fit in?
Yeah, I definitely think the majority of data is really pointing to the idea that, you know, doing it now will help you later, right? With it has a study I always point out, it's a 15-year follow-up study. And in that study, you know, even just doing two courses a year, two essentially very short courses each year for 3 years yielded results that reduced, you know, events of cardiovascular disease, you know, 15 years later. And so that one, it's always something I point to for longevity, usually. But with that being said, a lot of our physicians are starting to use it for its ability to regulate that pineal gland and how that relates to cortisol regulation and melatonin regulation. And so some people are doing much different protocols, almost smaller daily protocols, to address, you know, sleep and stress rather than, you know, just doing it for the longevity benefit.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool, especially, you know, if someone is living extremely American lifestyle, that could be useful. So
definitely.
Let's talk a little bit about American lifestyle and our need for toxicity, or not our need for toxicity, our need for detoxing from our toxicities. I know that you have a peptide for mold toxicity, and I haven't yet been able to try it out since it's been on back order, the VIP. Tell me a little bit about that, because I'm finding when I test people with organic acids testing, I'm finding a lot of mold toxicity in my patients. And granted, I'm in Washington State. I'm in the Tacoma, Washington area. And so we've got a lot of mold just in general here. But tell us a little bit about this VIP and how it works.
Yeah, the VIP is one of those that was sort of popularized by Dr. Shoemaker, who did a lot of the work with mold toxicities generally. And the VIP is a, is a sort of a peptide hormone, but it has a lot of different effects. I mean, it's been implicated in sexual function. It's, you know, can lower blood pressure, increase contractility of the heart. It does a lot of different things. Most of the time with mold toxicity, it's used toward the end of a protocol. So after people are sort of removing it, and it's mainly used for, I guess it's affecting the brain, and sort of resetting a lot of that dysfunction that has been happening as a result of the toxicity.
Gotcha. That's kind of interesting. I mean, it's definitely something that I've seen for a lot of the folks with brain fog and different brain issues as related to toxicity in the body.
There's another product I would say that's gaining some popularity as it relates to mold toxicity. And again, it goes back to a lot of the work that Dr. Shoemaker has done with talking about the reduction that happens of alpha MSH as a result of some of that toxicity. And so we have a couple of things that can mimic the alpha MSH, one of those being the melanotan. The melanotan at really, really low doses can also help reduce a lot of that inflammation that a lot of mold patients typically see.
Gotcha. That's cool because really, you know, in conventional, not even conventional, let's say alternative treatment of mold, it's tricky because we're using a lot of binders such as the bentonite clays and different herbs to try to pull the mold out of the system. But really, I wonder if we really are. And when I do repeat testing, I don't notice as great of changes as I'd like to. And I guess in this fast amount of time, I'm super impatient.
Sure. I get that. Well, whenever you're sick, and people are experiencing illness, I get the need to move quickly.
Yes. Speaking of a couple of random things that I have in my head that I wanted to ask you about moving quickly, one, are there any peptides, you know, would it be advantageous to use thymosin beta-4 if you were coming down with a cold and you wanted to stop the cold in its tracks? Like something like that, or would it be more thymosin alpha-1 in that case?
Yeah, most people will use the thymosin alpha-1, and it has been studied for that, you know, in terms of its effect on influenza titers. Another one that has, I would say, an antiviral effect that's been documented in the literature is the C-Link, which contains sort of a fragment of an IgG protein, which is obviously an inflammatory, or I should say an immunity-related product. And so a lot of people are using the thymosin alpha-1 almost like a Tamiflu to use in the first steps of some type of viral illness.
I've been thinking about that since I started playing with it. I also was thinking along the lines of, I have a lot of folks that were tapping into their chronic fatigue and trying to figure out what the heck the source of it is. And mono, chronic reactivated mono, is somewhat of like a thorn in my side. And I'm thinking thymosin alpha one for that. Anybody talking about that out there?
Yeah. I mean, again, yeah, the thymosin alpha one just has so many different applications that I have seen that as well.
Okay. Yeah. I'm kind of thinking on the viruses, that might be my, trial and see what happens with that in that case.
Yeah, and again, the immune markers and mediators that we see change with the thymosin alpha one are very, very predictable and ubiquitous. It is I would say good for almost any viral situation.
Cool. I think I might be playing with that one a little bit more. So, talking about the multiple different peptides in the term of stacking. Now, are there any peptides that do not get along with each other in terms of interactions amongst peptides if you're going to combine them together?
Sure. There are very, very few, I would say. You know, most of the ones that I would not recommend together are more so related to competition with each other in terms of mechanism of action. So, for instance, you know, a lot of people who are familiar with the somorolin, I wouldn't use a somorolin and something like a tesamorolin because those two are actually working on the same receptor. And so, you obviously want to be thoughtful about, competitive inhibition and dosing schedules. All of those things are important. But most of the peptides, just due to their specificity and their lack of complicated metabolism, definitely actually pair really, really well together.
Nice. And then another question I had for you that I kind of was thinking about on my own in terms of peptides. If someone's taking, say, an adrenal support formula where they have glandulars in them, such as the, you know, desiccated adrenal hormone, or even if someone's taking something like Nature Throid, which is a thyroid medication for those of you out there that aren't savvy to that medication, would these at all have any interactions in terms of things, or would it be back to the case of just separate them apart, just like we were talking about in terms of the thymosin alpha one and the Hashimoto's?
Sure. Yeah. It would be more like the other indication. Again, these are just going to be so specific, and most of the time, you know, they're metabolized in the serum and not in, you know, the kidneys or liver, and so you don't. The drugs usually wouldn't interact with each other, or even see each other, you know, unless they're in the bloodstream, and then there's really no interaction. So, you know, separating them definitely isn't a bad advice, but I wouldn't expect really any contraindication on most of those.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah, that's, I think, some of the things that, you know, patients tend to wonder about peptides because they are so new in our sense, even though they've been used in, what, Australia for like over a decade and even in Eastern Europe and Russia for, I don't even know how long, since the 80s. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry I lost you there, but yeah, the peptides have been used a little bit, I mean, for forever. I mean, you know, you talked about oxytocin or even the first, you know, peptide used with secretin. And so some of these newer ones are unfamiliar names, but the premise, you know, it goes back to, you know, our own biology. So definitely something to feel a little bit more comfortable about.
Yeah, makes sense. Now, on your website, you guys have a decent amount of information at tailormade.com, and that's TAILORMADE, not the other that most people think about when they're thinking about golf clubs. And do you have any other resources for podcast listeners to gain some more information on peptides, you know, other than just the PubMed research, or is there a hub where they could find more data on peptides?
Yeah. Unfortunately not. You know, again, a lot of this is mainly geared toward practitioners. And so there's not a lot of patient information out there. So I definitely would suggest if you're a patient who's interested in this, you can always reach out to us. But definitely have a conversation with your healthcare provider, because hopefully they'll be able to use some of the newer resources out there and translate some information to you.
Okay, good to know. No, I love that you guys have great handouts. If there's any other naturopathic doctors listening to this or doctors out there listening to this, TaylorMade has really great handouts that I pretty much mind Ryan for, so that I can give my patients the most information possible, because I do really think that peptides are the future of personalized medicine. And in particular for some of these tricky cases, such as the Hashimoto's, the chronic fatigue, you know, chronic mono, a lot of these difficult to treat therapy, you know, things without using so many different therapies, I'm hoping that by using peptides, we can cut down on the handful of supplements and herbs and everything else and get better results. Now, last thing before I let you go, in terms of combining peptides, what do you think is the max amount that one should combine in a stack before you confuse the body?
Yeah, so that's complicated. I would say we probably differ on the peptides that you're using. The one thing I can say is that we don't recommend often mixing all of these things in the same syringe. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times they can have some interaction from just a chemical level if you were to mix them, you know, together in one injection. And so, you know, it's difficult to say from a physiological standpoint, but from just a basic, you know, pharmacology, chemistry standpoint, I would recommend just injecting all of them separately, because we don't want them to interact with each other before they get into your bloodstream.
That's good to know. I don't think I would have actually thought about that. And I have played with combining things, so I might want to stop doing that on my own. I haven't done it with patients, but I have combined on my own just because, let's face it, a lot of pokes in the day get to be, you know, a little overwhelming, but makes sense. All right. Well, my goodness, sure. This is a lot of information for our folks. I hope that they're not drowning in my geeking out self today. I will make sure that I put together some really great podcast notes on this, everybody. Now, Ryan, for getting a hold of you, if someone has questions, I know you guys have a great email section. Is that what you recommend for folks if they do have questions for you guys and they're wanting to pose more information to their docs?
Definitely. By far, I recommend going on our website. We have a chat feature on there and email, and hopefully we'll be able to provide more information there. And just because, you know, I'm very, very thankful for the opportunity on being the podcast, and I want to specifically address, you know, some of these women issues, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention one more peptide for some of your listeners, which has the FDA approval date on June 23rd. So it's a very timely podcast, but it's actually going to be one that is looking to be approved for hyposexual arousal disorder. disorder or female sexual arousal disorder. So it's people are already sort of nicknaming it the female Viagra. It's called bremelanotide PT-141, and it's sort of going to go under the trade name Vileci. And it increases libido and arousal for women. And so definitely want something that, I couldn't let go if we're going to be specifically focusing on women.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I didn't even know about this one. I have seen the PT-141, but I didn't know that it was going along specifically for women. I was thinking it was another male enhancement one. So
Yeah, it definitely works in men. Men can definitely be, I would say users. Some data suggests it's 80% effective in men who don't respond to, Viagra or Cialis, for instance. But for women, it also has some, very, very encouraging data. In particular, it can cause a 50% increase in sexually gratifying experiences for women, which is obviously, something that there aren't a lot of tools for. As of June 23rd, it could be FDA approved and could start being covered by insurance for women who experience that.
Wow, that's awesome. And is this one an injectable too, or is this oral?
Yeah, unfortunately, this one is an injectable. Originally, it was done as a nasal, but that had some side effects that were not optimal. And so it was resubmitted to the FDA for just injectable use. We've had incredible results with this with some of our patients. And it's been very, very popular for some of our women.
That's awesome. And how long before sexual activity do you inject? Like
it's a little bit difficult because some people can see results in 45 minutes while other people can see results in 6 hours. A wide variance. And so, unfortunately that first dose is going to be establishing timing and let you know how you're, and so it can be a little bit difficult on the timing aspect, but usually once people have some experience with it, it can be very, very predictable.
That's a great way to make a plan for a nice long weekend away to experiment with your PT-141. Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you for bringing that in. Is there anything else that you have in the back of your mind that we have not talked about that would be specific for ladies for these peptides? Anything?
I think that we've covered most everything. And again, that PT-141 definitely is something that, women all around will start to hear about as it becomes more and more popular. And so that would be the one that I wouldn't miss. But everything else, all of the products are great for both, I think, men and women in certain situations. And so I hopefully we've addressed the women specifically and given them a lot of context that's hopefully helpful.
I think so. Thank you so much, Ryan. This has been a great geeking out session. I probably will have to have you come back on again as I get further into peptides and take this to the next level.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you having me and I look forward to returning.
Hey, Health Junkies, how did you like that podcast? I know you probably have your mind maybe swimming right now with all the technical information and, of course, me geeking out quite a bit on asking Ryan all the details on these peptides. So don't forget, head on over to drjkrausnd.com to go check out my podcast notes. That way you can get all the information that we were jabbering about and you can be more informed on peptides and if they might be an option for you. All right. Thanks for listening.
Hey everybody, Dr. Janine Krause here. If you liked what you heard today, then head over to drjkrausnd.com to find my free resources and information to know when I post something new that's juicy that you might want to check out. Plus, head over to where you get your podcasts and like, subscribe, and write a review to help get the word out about me and help others at the same time to find me. It really does help, and I really appreciate all of your reviews.